You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here from William Hill. A big weekend of Premier League action, it's back. And we're looking forward to this immensely. 10 games to preview on this podcast, all in the Premier League. Dave Callner here in the studio with, first of all, Derek McGovern on the line. Derek, good morning to you, sir.
How are you doing, lads? All well?
Very well indeed, thank you. Tom Kerwin joins us as well. Good morning to you, Tom.
Yes, hello, gents. Can we just spare a moment just to mourn the end of the international week, please? which the highlight being Rodney, which I'm going to call you both Rodney today, just out of tribute to that wonderful moment of Gordon Strachan losing his head after that game.
That was a fantastic clip, wasn't it? That was an absolutely brilliant clip from Gordon Strachan. Not brilliant if you're a Scottish football fan, but brilliant if you're an outsider looking in. And I suppose we were yet to find out where Wayne Rooney plays as well. Anywhere he wants, Derek, according to Sam Allardyce.
What a you shouldn't question where Rooney plays for England. You should question why. Yeah. I mean, Allardyce said he was outstanding against Slovakia. He looked like he'd been out clubbing, not outstanding. he was absolutely woeful. And as we're England, I mean, it's just the same old, isn't it? The same old, same old. I mean, the last 15 years watching England, it's been a chore, hasn't it? And the FA believed things would change under Allardyce. They really believe that. They obviously never watched West Ham and Sunderland under him. They have that in common with West Ham and Sunderland fans. It's just going to be, it's one crap manager to another. And, you know, we know what's going to happen. We'll qualify because we're in the easiest group to get out of since the Drifters. But once we're in Russia, they'll take bigger pacings than the England fans. It's just a joke.
He treated that game like a Premier League away, like they were going to the Hawthorns. And and his celebrations, like, yeah, you know, we'd have probably taken a point. But it's not up to him to tell players where to play. That is a new one on me. Exactly. I can't believe it.
Unbelievable.
He made a fool of himself, and he made an absolute fool of himself.
Let's get stuck into this weekend then, chaps. And we'll start with the Manchester derby. Manchester United taking on Manchester City at Old Trafford on Saturday lunchtime, and at Manchester United are 11-8 to win the match. The draw 11-5 with Man City in the betting at 5-2. A whole host of enhanced odds offers. Wayne Rooney to score and Man United to win was 7-2, now 5-1. And Nolito to score and Man City to win was 5-1, now 7-1. I can almost guarantee, Tom, that this game is going to finish 0-0, because I'm excited about this one. So it's bound to finish 0-0. There's plots and subplots all over the place. And both teams coming into this game with a 100% record as well. And I suppose only the absence of Sergio Aguero takes the gloss off the match.
It's a huge absence, though, isn't it? I mean, it completely swings the game, I think, you know, away from Manchester City. And it's quite nice to go from Sam Allardyce to Jose Mourinho and Pep Guardiola, who, so much of this build-up has been about those two, and understandably so. There is a real rivalry there, but I would love if the pair of them just came out of the Old Trafford tunnel together, hand in hand, and skipped along the touchline, to the dugouts, and just got rid of this nonsense, because it is all pantomime, isn't it, ahead of what is, as I said, the toughest test for both these sides this season. I mean, I think this game is going to swing on maybe one or two really key moments. And I think Manchester United, I've not been blown away by them. Neither have I have Man City. Neither team have really sort of got warmed up. But there is a contrast in styles here. And I think that sort of aerial bombardment, I think Mourinho will definitely play the percentages in this one. And I think, you know, set pieces, corners, you know, with the likes of Fellaini and Ibrahimovic and others, I think that's where he's going to feel he can get the better of Man City. And I think he'll try and bully them a little bit. I think both teams will play in the mould of the managers, really, in how they've set up teams in the past. I think it's going to be tight. Aguero is a huge, huge loss. I mean, there's no understating that. If he was starting and available for selection, I'd fancy Man City to win the game. But as it stands, I can't look past the draw here. I think it's going to be too tight. I mean, Man City didn't score in the two games against Manchester United last year. But Manchester City did not have a great season. So I think Guardiola would definitely take the point. I don't think Mourinho would be too happy with it.
No, I think this is an opportunity, Derek, for Manchester United to grab all three here. Are you an advocate of retrospective punishment, Derek? Do you think Aguero should have been suspended for this game or not?
Well, I am an advocate of it, but my colleague Dave Kidd made in a column he wrote this week made an interesting point. I mean, yeah, it's fine doing that, But you could, you know, that was a headline-making incident, that one. But there's probably 10 or 12 other incidents that you could go back on and dish out punishment retrospectively. And they go unmissed because, you know, they weren't headline-grabbing incidents. So I'm not sure where to stand on that now. But I suppose if you elbow someone in the chops, you know, you've got to get your comeuppance, haven't you? And he did. And it's interesting. I mean, you mentioned his absence, and it's a massive absence for City. The one player they wouldn't want to lose above all. If the City are 5-2 now, what price would they have been with Aguero playing? You know, yeah. How much difference does a man make? I mean, I suspect you wouldn't have got more than 2-1 had Aguero been playing. But as it is, he's out. All eyes will be on the game. All eyes, that is, apart from Paul Scholes. He said he'd rather watch non-league football than United games. He could have got that last season, both at the same time under Louis van Gaal. I don't know which way to look at this game, you know. Yeah, both managers, that's the main subplot. No stranger to silverware, Marino, is he? And no stranger now to silver hair, either. He's so grey, he looks like he's going to rain these days, Marino. I don't know what to think about the game, I really don't. Instinctively, I think City are too big at 5-2 because, like Tom, I haven't really been that impressed with United. They've had three gimmies, really, haven't they? And done what was expected of them, no more. It's the presence of Pogba that, if I was going to go for United, he'd be the main reason. But 11-8 to beat a side as good as City, that's a bit short. I'm going to go roll in with Tom. I think the draw looks the best bet. You mentioned that Guardiola would be happy with the draw, and he would be. But you suggest that Marino wouldn't be happy with the draw. I think he would be. I think he'd be delighted with the draw.
Do you think so?
Game. Yeah, I really do. That's just his MO, isn't it? Beat the smaller fry and take points away from your main rivals, which is what he'd do with a draw. I think it'll be a draw this one.
Another couple of enhanced odds offers may be interesting here. Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score, Man United to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 11-2, now 6-1. And Kevin De Bruyne to score and Man City to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 11-1, now 12-1. Read a piece earlier in the week, Tom. I didn't realise how much Zlatan Ibrahimovic hated Pep Guardiola as well and calls him the professor. Their time together at Barcelona ended appallingly, really. And he has said openly that Lionel Messi was influential in getting Guardiola to drop Ibrahimovic from the first team after he'd started so well because he wanted all the limelight, basically.
He wanted the limelight, but if I remember correctly as well, Lionel Messi was playing in support of Ibrahimovic sort of in a wide position and he wanted to be the main man. I mean, yeah. And I think, you know, I don't think you can argue with the decision when you look at what Barcelona went on and did after Ibrahimovic's exit, but I think they clash, and it's different personalities. Ibrahimovic and Mourinho are kindred spirits, really. I mean, Guardiola plays it cool and calculated. You know, I think he likes to give off the impression that he's above all of this, but he definitely got under his skin in Spain. There's no question about it. And I think it was Mourinho's sort of style. It's that contrasting style. I think Guardiola will feel that he is the intellectual superior as far as football is concerned. You know, his teams play a more beautiful brand of football, but Mourinho's all about the winning. And either way, you're going to get sort of success here. But I just think that Mourinho will be weighing up his options. And Mourinho is a master at using the tools at his disposal and using them in the most effective way in these big games. I mean, Mourinho at Chelsea did it so many times in these sort of, just these massive matches. You know, I remember when we went to Anfield, you know, and he had his cold and he looked like he didn't want to be there. And, you know, he masterminded a victory there. He's just got something about him in these big games where he can pull something out. And I just think looking down that Manchester United squad list and the team that's likely to play, it's the power for me in that team. It's Ibrahimovic. It's Paul Pogba. Fellaini, if he throws him in, I think physically he'll feel he can get the better of Man City. I think that's where he'll feel he can win the game. So like I said, I think you're looking at some of the markets here, and I always like to score ahead of market because Zlatan Ibrahimovic, for example, is 4-1. Pogba is 9-1, and I think he is just going to bomb balls into that box. Not long ball style, but I think that's where he'll feel he can win the game. I don't think Manchester United are a fluent team that can match City on a footballing level yet. But I think he'll feel that, as I say, physically, he's going to cause problems. I also like the look as well, by the way, of Marcus Rashford, last scorer at 7-1. What a week he's had. You know, a hat-trick for the under-21s. I was undecided about him last year, but he looks like an absolute natural finisher. He reminds me sort of of Ian Wright when he burst on at the scene all those years ago. And you could almost see him. He's not going to start the weekend, but you could almost see him coming on and having an impact as he has done before.
People are comparing him, Derek, to Michael Owen when he burst on the scene as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, aren't there? Well, you mentioned there, Tom, that you were undecided about him last season, and I was as well. And I'm trying to work out why we were undecided. It was because he was sort of thrown in the team by accident, wasn't he? Yeah. And we were actually thinking then, well, if he was that good, he would have been in from the start. Mm. Well, let's not forget they had a clown as a manager then. He wouldn't recognise talent anyway. So, you know, that's probably the explanation. He's been great, hasn't he? He was great when when he only had 20 minutes for England, but he was still England's player at the tournament in the Euros. And he's had a great week for the under-21s. So, yeah, the last goal scorer, that's a decent bet because you can see him getting thrown on. Mm. And also, last goal scorer, as I've said a billion times, it's far more entertaining a bet than first goal scorer anyway, because you're getting the bet for the 90 minutes then. Mm. First goal scorer bet, it could be over in seconds.
You said there that he was playing under a clown last season, but he's playing under a manager this season that doesn't promote youth.
No, it's true, but he will promote youth if youth is good enough.
You think so?
I'm not having that with Mourinho. What did he have? I mean, at Chelsea, they're all out on loan before he even had a chance to look at his squad. Good managers play good players, though I don't think it matters what the age is. If Mourinho had a team of 19-year-old superstars at Manchester United, he'd be playing them.
Mm. So, predictions here, Tom?
I'm going for a draw. I can only see it heading that way. I think we'll get a scoring draw here. So the draw and both teams to score at 16-5. I still think Manchester City have enough firepower to cause Manchester United problems, but it's that contrast in styles really and that arm wrestle that I think is going to go on in this match, but it's going to be very tight.
And Derek?
Yeah, draw for me. Mm.
Liverpool versus Leicester is the tea time kickoff on Saturday, 5:30. Liverpool 7-10 to win it. The draw in the betting at 11-4 with Leicester in the market at 5-1. I can just see now, Derek, on Saturday night, people saying, I can't believe it. Liverpool have let my accumulator down again. They look so short in the betting here.
Well, you look at the opposite side of the coin. How big are Leicester? 5-1.
Precisely.
The champions. 5-1. I mean, it's just madness. It's absolute madness. And I just cannot work out where the odds compilers are coming from here. Okay, Leicester were chucking the first day of the season, but they've righted the wrongs, mate. You know, they perpetrated that day. Are the odds compilers thinking that this new stadium, or it's not a new stadium, the new revamped main stand for Liverpool's going to, you know, change things? It's added 8,000 bums. Sounds like Middlesbrough's transfer policy this summer. but mates of mine have been there to examine where they'll be sitting in this new stand, and they're saying it's going to be like a morgue on Saturday. They've turned the stadium into almost like a Super Bowl stadium.
Really?
The seats are miles away from the ground. The fans are not happy. And at the moment, everything's hunky-dory. It won't become Saturday evening. You get a lot of complaints about what's happened at Anfield. I don't know whether that will affect the game. All I do know is that, you know, the only team you can possibly back here are the champions at 5-1. I mean, Liverpool's defence, the only thing leakier than my roof, 6 goals they've conceded this season in the league. Mm-hmm. It's as many as any other Premier League team. Burnley only kicked the ball twice against them the other week, and both times it landed in the Liverpool net. I mean, I just cannot understand why Leicester are 5-1. It's unbelievable price, and it's my fifth bet of the season already this year.
I'll go through some of the enhanced odds here. Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 6-1, enhanced to 7-1. This Jamie Vardy one looks nice though. Jamie Vardy to score, Leicester to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 12-1. Now 14-1. He scored 6 times in his last 7 Premier League games, and he got both of Leicester's goals in their 2-0 win over Liverpool in February as well. That looks attractive. 14-1, Vardy and a low-scoring win for Leicester.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading an interview with Andy King, the Leicester midfielder, and he said it would be an upset if they went to Liverpool and won. Why? You know, I know that's probably the mentality they're trying to portray at Leicester, that, you know, they're still the underdogs and, you know, no one's expecting us to do well, but when you're the champions and you're that price, you're going up against the Leicester, a Liverpool side who, as Derek says, they're conceding goals. They don't look at all secure. And actually, something's going on with Sturridge, isn't there? I still don't think that the most natural goal scorer can't get in the starting lineup. Whereas Leicester, I think, will go there. And I think they've played pretty well this season, Leicester. I don't think they've played that badly. Hull, they got caught out. I think maybe they were a bit cocky. I think that was a bump down to earth that they probably needed. Played well against Arsenal, got the job done against Swansea, but played better than the 2-1 scoreline suggested. So I can't look past Leicester being the bet, and Jamie Vardy as well. You know, he scored goals. You know, his goal record actually of late has not been bad, although he went on a little bit of a drought. And against Liverpool, it's not been too bad. So I'm with Vardy and a Leicester win. I think there'll be goals in this one. I think when Liverpool play, you've got to look at overs on the goals.
If you're
just
looking...
Sorry, Dave. An interesting stat I noticed about this game. The reigning Premier League champions have not won a league game at Anfield since Man United won there in December 2007, almost 10 years ago. Quite remarkable, isn't it?
I think Liverpool set up well for Leicester as well, Derek, because we know that Liverpool, under Jurgen Klopp, are a team that play high-intensity football. So they're going to pressurise Leicester, and Leicester will look to hit them on the counter.
Well, it didn't work so well for Liverpool at Leicester last season, did it? That was under Klopp, 2-0, including that brilliant Jamie Vardy goal from way out. I mean, that was an unbelievable goal. They got beat 1-0 at Anfield, but it wasn't many highlights in that game. You could say that, but you could say that Liverpool are set up for Leicester as well.
Yeah.
I think you know, Liverpool are so inconsistent that you can't possibly back them home. And I'm tired of telling people never to back Liverpool at odds on at Anfield. That is the quickest way to the poorhouse. I live there, I should know.
Swansea versus Chelsea up next, Sunday, 4 p.m. this one. Swansea are 9-2 to win it. The draw 3-1, Chelsea in the betting 8-13. Enhanced odds, Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 19-2, now 12-1. And Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 8-5. That's been enhanced to 2-1. Tom, Swansea have lost back-to-back matches after their opening day win against Burnley. They're taking on a Chelsea side that have also beaten Burnley this season, winning 3-0 in a dominant performance at Stamford Bridge a couple of weeks ago. And I've got to mention him, Diego Costa. Him to score and Chelsea to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is enhanced to 5-1, and he's even money to score any time here. He's either scored or assisted one in each of his last five Premier League games for Chelsea, and he's actually scored more Premier League goals against Swansea than any other team that he's faced in the Premier League. And Chelsea have got a good record against Swansea as well. Tom, is this an away win? Is it a banker?
Without a doubt. As we know, I'm tipping Chelsea for the title, and nothing that I've seen at the start of the season suggests otherwise. I think they've shown some real sort of grit and determination. After some shaky performances, against West Ham, they left it late. Against Watford, they turned it around second half. The options from the bench are making an impact. And of course, now they have recruited the arguably, quote-unquote, the best defender in the world in David Luiz. You've got a player there who's going to be secure, he's solid, he's not going to make any mistakes because he's a different man. I mean, him under Conte is going to be a very, very interesting relationship, really, because there's no doubt David Luiz has all the attributes. We've seen it. He's quick, he's strong in the air, and he's at the stage in his career where he should be mature as a central defender. Now, whether he's going to play in that position or not, I think he will, and I think Conte wants him in to maybe move to that three centre-backs at some point, but I don't think he'll disrupt the formula right now. And I think Conte's the perfect man for David Luiz. I really do. I mean, I think you'd have said the same probably about Laurent Blanc, but Conte is that good at organising teams and making them hard to beat. He's probably arguably the best in the world at that. So I actually don't think it's a bad addition. And actually, it's probably been good business for Chelsea overall. So I can't see anything other than this. I remember they went there and won 5-0 last January, wasn't it, in 2015, and they were completely dominant. Swansea themselves, in this fixture, and in fixtures against the top sides at home, don't tend to do great. I think they target Swansea, that they're going to beat the teams in and around them, sort of that bottom 12 teams or so in the league. And I think Chelsea are flying. I'm with Eden Hazard. I mentioned it earlier this season. He looked sensational in pre-season. He is absolutely back to his best. And an Eden Hazard goal and Chelsea to win it 2-1. That's where my money's going.
Yeah, I quite like that as well. Derek, your thoughts on this one?
Well, yeah, Chelsea I fancy all day long. 8-13. A little bit on the short side, given that, impressive though Chelsea have been, they've played so far in the Premier League only three teams in the bottom half, and this is the fourth on the spin. We really need to see them up against one of the powerhouses before you get a better handle on them. So I'm a little bit reluctant to back them at 8-13, but 7-4 to win 2-0, that looks good on to me. I can't see Swansea getting it, laying a glove on them. And yeah, Hazard, man, he's just a sensational player. And even to score at any time, why wouldn't he?
Sunderland versus Everton is the Monday night game, 8 p.m. Sunderland 13-5 to win. The draw 12-5. Everton 21-20. Take you through the enhanced odds offers here with the goal scorer and the correct score group betting. Jermaine Defoe to score. Sunderland to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 8-1, enhanced to 9-1. And Romelu Lukaku to score. And Everton to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Was 5-1, enhanced to 6-1. There's bound to be a little bit of spice in this one, given that David Moyes was in charge of Everton for 11 years, Derek. But when he was manager of Manchester United, that seems like something that happened in a parallel universe, doesn't it? David Moyes, manager of Manchester United. But he lost both his matches against Everton. And the match at Goodison was his last game in charge of United as well. So he's not had success travelling back to his former club. And they're up against Everton at home here.
Yeah, he won't have any success here either. I mean, I nailed my colour to the mast earlier in the season. I'll be opposing Sunderland and West Brom whenever whenever their opponents are favourably priced, and Everton are here odds against that. This is a different Everton under Ronald Koeman this season. This is a business-like Everton, and they won't be conceding goals for fun like they did last season. Even without John Stones, I mean, the players they brought in are probably more solid, more defensively reliable. And that's what they needed. I mean, I can't go for Sunderland. I think they're a desperately ordinary side. I really do. And the appointment of David Moyes ain't going to do anything for them. I don't think the odds compilers have got a handle on Everton yet. I still think they're taking the chance on them. This is the kind of fixture that last season under Martinez they'd slip up in. They slipped him up in an awful lot. But odds against to beat a rank bad Sunderland side, that's too good to resist there. Everton all day for me. It's this weekend's got some really fancy prices. Mm. You get some weekends where you just can't fancy anything, but this is one of many this weekend, Everton.
I like Lukaku to score any time as well, 13-10 here. I got a couple midweek on international duty with Belgium against Cyprus, and he's the sort of striker, Tom, that I always think once he gets going, he can string performances together.
Without a doubt, he's going to be a massive threat in this game. What's going to be interesting to see is what Koeman's done between probably one of the most shambolic Everton performances last season was at Sunderland at the end of the season, where they were walloped 3-0. They conceded three goals in 20 minutes either side of half-time, and they just looked an absolute shambles. And Koeman's done great things. Where you can see his sort of stamp on this team, and considering who they're playing against, I can't see anything other than an Everton win. And I know a few Everton season ticket holders, and they say, without a doubt, and I noticed it at the time, and I did raise my eyebrow at it, but Idrissa Gueye, they signed from Aston Villa for about £7 million. He is an unbelievable player. He is Kante Mark II, and he is going to be absolutely pivotal if Everton are going to be in the top six or in there and challenging for European spots. Mm. Last year, with his stats compared to Kante, in terms of tackles, distance covered, interceptions, he was only second to Kante in an Aston Villa side. He was brilliant. And Everton have absolutely stolen a march. There will be big clubs that will be ruined not going for him at around £7 million. And he has been absolutely key in what Everton have done at the start of the season. And I think they're only going to get better. So for me, it's an Everton victory.
Everton to win that one for both Derek and Tom in the betting at 21-20 odds against. Let's move on to the non-televised fixtures this weekend, all Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs, and we'll start with the Gunners. Arsenal hosting Southampton at the Emirates. Arsenal are 6-10 to win it. The draw 3-1 with Southampton in the betting at 9-2. Enhanced odds: Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 12-5, now 7-2, and Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win. Was 9-1. That's been enhanced to 12-1. Southampton, Tom, still searching for their first win of the campaign. While Arsenal got 3 points against Watford with a strong first half display, doing the damage a couple of weeks ago. This is actually a fixture that Southampton have had success in recent times. They've won three and drawn two of their last six meetings with Arsenal, but most of that success has come at St Mary's. At the Emirates, they've scored just once in that last four visits, and failed to score in their last three. And this is something we mentioned on podcasts in previous weeks. Just wondering whether all those outgoings for Southampton finally catching up with them.
Yeah, and it's Arsenal versus the feeder club, isn't it?
yep.
You know, the players that have moved, made that particular journey from Southampton to Arsenal. But yeah, we're in the same situation with Southampton. We're looking at Southampton's side with a new manager who've lost three of their most influential players, particularly Wanyama and Mane. I think they're really going to struggle without them. I don't think they're going to be a relegation team, but I just don't think they have necessarily that threat. They had a kind of three-pronged threat, didn't they? With Tadic, with Mane, and with Pella up front, who could hold up the ball well, particularly away from home at the Emirates. And while they have had a good record, you're right, the record has been at home. They've only scored one goal in the last four games at the Emirates. And although Arsenal can't really shake them off, they've only won one of the last six meetings against Southampton. This myth that Arsenal at home, haven't been great against teams they should be beating. Teams outside the top eight Arsenal have only lost two games. They've won nine and drawn one last season against teams outside the top eight. So their record's not bad. You know, they normally get the job done. But for Arsenal, again, there's too much still going on around that club. You know, Mustafa is a decent signing on deadline day. I think they win the game. But I think if you're looking at a par scoreline for Arsenal in this kind of game, you're looking at 2-0 at 7-1. I don't think Southampton, a bit like they did at Manchester United, they never really posed a threat. And Manchester United sort of did it with ease. Could have won by more, but it's not Mourinho's style. And I think Arsenal, looking at them, I know they destroyed Watford and they were brilliant in that game. I think you're looking at sort of 2-0. It was low on goals last year. It was 0-0 in this particular fixture last season, but I can't see many. So I'd be backing under 2.5 goals, but I'm going to go for an Arsenal 2-0 victory.
Arsenal 2-0 is in the betting at 7-1. Under 2.5 match goals, by the way. That's in the market at even money. Arsenal versus Southampton, Derek. I think I'd rather take a chance on Southampton at one of these sort of prices than at home when they've against a lesser club when they've been sent off 8-13.
Exactly. I mean, the Southampton are a team I always back away from home at fancy prices, especially at Arsenal. Okay, they didn't score there last season. And yeah, they probably didn't lay a glove on Man United in that early game this season. But I was actually impressed with 80% of their play. It's just that they did lack a goal threat. But they looked a tidy side despite the departures. And they're not going to be easy. This is not going to be an easy game for Arsenal. And Arsenal almost wanted, almost as low as 1-2, 6-10. Sorry, I'm not touching that. I don't think any serious punter will. It's way too short. The beatable Arsenal. You mentioned Mesut Ozil in the enhanced odds. I'm not surprised your odds compilers are putting him in because he hasn't scored a goal at the Emirates since December. He's supposedly one of the best attacking midfielders in Europe. What a joke. Southampton 9-2. I'm tempted. I'm sorely tempted because they're a side that can go anywhere and get a result. But it's just the fact that they didn't look potent enough that puts me off that. What I will do though is go for Southampton with a goal start at 11-8 because I just want to be against Arsenal in this fixture.
Mesut Ozil, Derek, he's an assists man. That's what he does.
Yeah. You got a load of assists at Real Madrid, and his assisting, all they were was passing to Ronaldo on the halfway line, and then Ronaldo beating 11 men.
That's Arsenal versus Southampton. Let's move on to Burnley versus Hull at Turf Moor. Burnley 6-4, the draw 2-1. Hull in the betting at 21-10. Enhanced odds, Jeff Hendrick to score and Burnley to win was 5-1, now 7-1. And Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win was 6-1, enhanced to 8-1. Probably going to be last on match of the day, this one, Derek. Burnley versus Hull. And I'm concerned for both sides here because they've actually allowed their opponents the most efforts on goal so far this season in the Premier League. Hull City have conceded 70 shots, Burnley 65. And I am stating the bleeding obvious here. But if you're allowing that many shots, the likelihood is that you're going to end up struggling in the long run. And in addition to this, Burnley have actually had the fewest shots on goal in the Premier League this season. They've only had 19 shots on goal in the Premier League. I fear for both these sides.
Yeah, well, both these sides, amazingly, have been relegated in the two previous seasons. They've been in the Premier League together. That was 2009-10 and 2014-15. And I fear the hat-trick might be on.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you know, that 3 points against Liverpool shocked everybody. But that was play that game 100 times and Burnley wouldn't win it again. And then he got pasted by Chelsea. They were absolutely outclassed. That's not unlikely to happen against Hull. I mean, Hull is not known for class unless it's drugs. But I would have to go for a draw here. It's the epitome of glamour, this game, isn't it? Sean Dyche and Mike Phelan, he oozed charm and suaveness from every point. As indeed do you, Dave, by the way. It's one of those ugly games, isn't it? That if you pay whatever you pay for the ticket, probably about $2.99, I would just you know that it's not going to be an enjoyable 90 minutes. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if this was 0-0, but I'll go for the draw anyway at any price.
0-0 is 13-2, the draw in the betting at 2-1. Tom, Hull have only used 13 players this season, basically because that's all they've got.
Yeah, that is all they've got. And, I suppose Snodgrass was in great form for Scotland, wasn't he? Admittedly against Malta, but he looks to be their match winner at the moment. But I've got a few friends that are Hull City fans, and they absolutely despise Burnley because You know, as Derek says there, they've been competing in the same division for quite a while now, be it in the Premier League and the Championship. And Sean Dyche just has the edge over Hull, and he always has done. And there was big concern for them a couple of years ago, I think, when they were battling for promotion, that Burnley, in fact, when they were last in the Premier League, that Burnley went to Hull. And the record that they've got at home is absolutely abysmal. Sean Dyche, in the six meetings against Hull, he's won five of them, all of them 1-0.
Right.
So there have been five games that have been 1-1-0. Four of them have been Burnley. The other one has been for Hull. So Burnley just have this absolutely solid record against them. They've won all four of the recent Premier League meetings. This is a Burnley side that finished 10 points better off than Hull in the same league. They're a team that at home have won seven of the last 11. Now, I've got to look at these two sides and think that they're on a par with each other. They're both going to be in serious trouble this season. I don't fancy either of them to stay up in the league. But the fact that Burnley have won eight of the last 10, seven of these games have been to nil when the team has won. I can't see. I'm with Burnley on this one all day long. I know what you guys are saying about the draw, and it's going to be tight and everything else. But I think Burnley at Turf Moor, they will be absolutely fired up for this one, because this is a six-pointer for them. If they win, it gives themselves a little bit of hope. They had more points than the last time they were in the Premier League, and they still got relegated. They had three more points than they had now. And they actually won the game this season. They probably didn't expect to win, but this is one they'll be targeting. And I just look at the Hull side. Players have been away on international duty here. I think that start has already kind of fizzled out a little bit for them. So I'm going for a Burnley win. And I think, actually, they're a decent price with the record that Sean Dyche has against the Tigers. I think Burnley will get the job done here. But I think it'll probably be a win to nil if it follows the trend of recent years.
6-4 Burnley to win the game. If you're looking at Burnley 1-0, that's in the betting at 6-1. And Burnley to win to nil, 13-5 here with William Hill. West Ham versus Watford next at the Olympic Stadium. West Ham 4-5, the draw 13-5, Watford in the betting at 17-5. And Mikel Antonio to score, and West Ham to win was 14-5, enhanced to 4-1. And Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 6-1, enhanced to 8-1. Everyone despises the international break, Tom, apart from West Ham, because they've managed to get their players back fit. They were in the midst of a serious injury crisis before the break, and they'll be delighted to have Dimitri Payet and Manuel Lanzini back in the starting lineup. And they've also got Simone Zaza on loan from Juventus. And he's likely to start up front for the Hammers in this game. And he could make an impact as long as they keep him off penalties, Tom.
Yeah.
Don't let him take a penalty.
Yeah, if there is one, it's going to be an interesting one. I wonder if he'll just go and grab the ball off whoever it is who's got it. This is the fixture on Saturday. When I look down all the games, this is one where I really don't know about this one. I've not been convinced about West Ham at all this season. We've talked about it before, but they look lethargic. They feel it look like, you know, particularly Slaven Bilic, he's not had that same kind of, you know, sort of skip in his step, really. He looks like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. And West Ham have played like that, really. And they're playing like that at home. They've not played well. They were very unconvincing against Bournemouth in that victory they had. Of course, they were knocked out in the Europa League to Astra, and I can't be backing West Ham at 4-5 at home. Watford themselves, I'm not sure what to make of them this season. You know, they've recruited a lot of players, as they tend to do at Vicarage Road, and I suppose now they've got to kind of gel them together. But you know, they've scored in all the games that they've played so far this season, but they've not got great results from them, have they? Because they've lost three and got that solitary draw on the opening day against Southampton. So I'm not sure what to make of them either. I think Watford will go there thinking they can score, and I always like Watford to score in matches, so it's no surprise to me that they have been finding the back of that, particularly with the players they've got in the strike partnership. You know, I fancy Agallo. It's not going to be long before he gets up and running, and his partnership with Troy Deeney starts to come to fruition. But West Ham, I'm just looking at their players, and you think Ashley Fletcher, who was about to go out on loan to a Championship club before the window shut, is now with Zaza, who they managed to get in, you know, on a quick deal. That's who they're relying on, really, for the goals up front. And I still think there's a problem with that new stadium at West Ham. I think it's going to take them a long time to get into it. So I suppose I would look for a draw, and it's probably a result that suits nobody here. So I'm going to go for the draw, and I probably lean towards both teams to score, because I think West Ham are still a good outfit, but they've not shown enough for me yet this season.
I'm surprised to see Derek over 2.5 goals at odds against here at 21-20. I'm giving you the cast iron guarantee here. There will be goals in this game.
Well, it looks that way. I mean, Watford, as Tom says, are capable of scoring in every game. In fact, they do. They just can't hang on to leads. But he's dead right about West Ham as well. What have West Ham done to merit being odds on in this game? Nothing is the answer. In fact, Slaven Bilic has lost four of his last six Premier League games in charge of West Ham. I mean, that's a shocking run. That's relegation form. And here they are, our odds on. You mentioned that these players might be coming back, but it's only a might, you know. There's no definite that Payet and Lanzini will be back. If they do line up from the start, well, maybe, you know, maybe you might be merited in backing them in 4-5. But even then, I wouldn't. Because, you know, their fitness has to be taken on trust, their match fitness. 17-5, Watford. The more I look at it and the more I listen to what I've been saying in the last 30 seconds, the more I fancy them. I'm going to go for Watford here. I think we're due. They're not a side. Watford are not a side that are going to get pasted by anybody. And we've seen over the last, 12 months what they are capable of on their day, in particular that FA Cup win out against Arsenal when they were absolutely sensational. West Ham are there for the taking right now. They really are. And you're getting almost 4-1 for Watford. Too big.
I'm concerned, though, Tom. You mentioned that Odion Ighalo-Troy Deeney partnership is bound to come to fruition at some point. Well, when? We've been waiting that. Odion Ighalo's last... When was the last time he scored a goal, Odion Ighalo?
I would guess probably just before he signed his new contract. I'm only guessing. I don't have the figures in front of me, but that's normally the case, isn't it?
Maybe he's got one, but I can't remember the last time he scored.
Yeah, maybe it's just something I will always keep the faith in, regardless. Yeah. Even if it's the next 3 years they don't score a goal. So, no, that's a good... That is definitely a good strike partnership. But I think that probably sums up the best. Derek, summed it up right. They're not a team that are going to get well beaten in any game. They're going to be in every match because I think they go into every game, still as they were when they got promoted from the Championship, even though it's a different set of players now. They'll always feel that they can score and that they will score in a game. Therefore, it's up to the opposition to try and score more. And the other teams have been doing that this year. But I do think that Watford will look at West Ham. And I think any team that goes to West Ham right now will be licking their lips at the prospect of causing what would be an upset, of course, down at the odds for this one.
Middlesbrough next up versus Crystal Palace. Middlesbrough 5-4, the draw 2-1, Crystal Palace 5-2. Enhanced odds, Christian Stuani to score and Middlesbrough to win was 18-5, now 5-1. And Andros Townsend to score and Crystal Palace to win was 13-2, now 8-1. Mentioning that enhanced odds offer, I'll start this preview with the most predictable stat of the season. Andros Townsend, Derek, has had more shots than any other Premier League player this season without scoring. He's had 12 shots on goal without finding the back of the net. He is part of that enhanced odds offer here. And that's what Palace need. They need goals. They need Christian Benteke to hit the ground running, basically.
Yeah, well, maybe Townsend should try passing a bit more, really, Sod. Especially, you know, this fixture is absolutely impossible to call. Instinctively, I know Middlesbrough are a bit short. What I've seen from them this season, they're a solid side, Middlesbrough. They're a side that aren't a bit like Kate Watford. They're not going to get pasted by anybody, and they're going to give it a good account of themselves every game. But they lack stardust, I think. They're not going to be a side you want to be up backing at these prices. I'd sooner back them at say 7-2 if they went to Palace. I'd fancy them more then. 5-4 makes zero appeal. Palace is a team that I said about 18 months ago, always back them away from home. They're set up for a counter-attacking style. I'm not sure anymore. And 5-2 is certainly not giving anything away. The departure of Balassi, I think, has absolutely killed them. This fixture really troubles me. I would say, put a gun to my head, I'd side with Middlesbrough, but 5-4 is no value at all. You know what I'll do? I'll go on the unders on the goals. I'll go under 1.5, which is generally around the 2-1 mark. Might be a bit shorter for this game.
It's a lot shorter. 13-8 it is under
1.5.
Oh, God,
that's changed my mind then. That has changed my mind. I'm going for 0-0. No goal scorer.
0-0 in the game, 13-2. Tom?
Well, I look at Middlesbrough and they have been involved in the worst Premier League game I think I'd ever seen against West Brom before the international break. And I've seen some absolute stinkers in the greatest league in the world. But I've been quite impressed with them because I think that they are a solid side. And I think the addition of Callum Chambers was a really astute move from Ita Karanka, who has been backed massively in the transfer market. When you look at some of the players he's brought in, and not all of them are going to work, but... You know, Steve Gibson does just hand out the money to his managers. You know, he will back them. And there's a lot of onus them on Alvaro Negredo because the supporting cast as far as strikers are concerned include David Nugent and Jordan Rhodes, two players who Middlesbrough were actively trying to get out of the club over the summer. So that would be the concern for me. And that stardust Derek talks about there, that is probably what they're missing. Although Stuani, of course, as we've seen at Sunderland, is capable of doing it. So they do have players who can score spectacular goals. They scored a great team goal as well at the Stadium of Light. I think they'll be really confident. You've got to remember this Middlesbrough side, they've not lost a game yet this season. So, you know, three matches for a team that, you know, everyone expected to really struggle, and I still think they're going to have a fight on their hands. They'll be very, very happy with that, and they're not going to give anything away in these home games. And the Palace team, again, we've spoken about it before, something is not right at Selhurst Park. You know, they've had to go for Matthew Flamini. Jack Wilshere didn't want to go there. Wilfred Zaha wanted to leave. Balassi, you know, all right, it's a big move for him, but, you know, I think he was pretty keen to get out of it. Benteke is the kind of player, he's got the swagger about him now, that looks like a player who's earned his money and he's almost done, you know, and he's still in his early mid-20s. So I can't see Crystal Palace getting themselves out of this hole. 12 points from 22 Premier League games this year. It was a 90th-minute equaliser against Bournemouth that saved them in that game. Loic Remy's injured and had to return to Chelsea. They've not won away since the 19th of December. I know Middlesbrough are short, but I can't look past them. I can't see Palace. They just don't hold that threat away from home as they did last year. And, you know, people made a lot of money on them, backing them on that breakaway. They were brilliant. They were sensational away from home. But I don't think they are anymore. And I think Middlesbrough will win the game.
Middlesbrough to win it for Tom, 5-4. Penultimate match is Bournemouth versus West Brom. And Bournemouth are even money to win this one. The draw is 11-5. West Brom in the market at 3-1. Enhanced odds, Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win. Was 14-5, now 4-1. And Solomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win. Was 11-2, now 7-1. You mentioned, Tom, that West Brom versus Middlesbrough was one of the worst Premier League meetings you've ever seen. I think if you're listing 10, West Brom have been involved in 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, they're not going to win any awards, are they, for the star? We know that. And I think we're going to be continuing the trend here of backing against West Brom. I mean, to say they've not been great is an understatement. And I look at performances as well as results. I know Bournemouth's results haven't been great, but I think they've done all right. They did all right at Palace, all right. They let it slip at the end. I thought they were okay against West Ham and probably deserved the result. And I'm a fan of Bournemouth. I like them. You know, I still think they could have a very, very solid season. And I think the you know, whatever you think about Jack Wilshere, the fact that they managed to get him in might have something to do with Eddie Howe basically agreeing that he's going to be the next manager at Arsenal. But they've got him in, haven't they? And that it's a complete turnaround for that club now. This just proves what the Premier League is all about now. You know, players 20, 30 years ago would make part of their judgment. Yeah, it was a financial decision. Yes, it was a career decision. But it was also, they'd look at the stature of a club and everything else. Jack Wilshere's not bothered that Bournemouth play in front of 11,000 because the style of football's right. He's going to fit into it really well. And, you know, they're an attacking and attractive team to sort of play football in. And I just think Bournemouth typify what has gone on in the Premier League the last few years now, and being able to compete financially with some of the top clubs is testament to them, but also testament to the huge revenue stream. So going on to the game, I think Bournemouth win the match because, as I say, I think they've played well. Jack Wilshere in the team, Tyrone Mings is back, which is a, you know, big plus for him defensively. He's a player with a big you know, future. You know, he could certainly represent his country going forward. And West Brom have not been great, so I can only look at Bournemouth here at even money and think, yep, they're a good price. And also, Jack Wilshere to score any time, 9-2 in a Bournemouth win, not bad.
Jack Wilshere, by the way, has scored in his last two Premier League games against West Brom, if you're looking at it from that angle. Tony Pulis aside, Derek, they've scored just 7 goals in their last 13 Premier League games. I am still expecting Bournemouth to come good, but they've only picked up one win in their last 11 Premier League fixtures. And I mentioned Benteke hitting the ground running for Crystal Palace. I think Bournemouth will just be happy if Jack Wilshere hits the ground without limping. So they need a player like Jack Wilshere in their starting lineup, but he barely had any game time for Arsenal in his in his career at the Emirates. And they're not guaranteed to get much game time out of Wilshere, are they?
Well, no. In the last 5 years, he played only a third of the time he could have played, you know, had he not been injured. And he's also a third of the height he should be. I never had so much guff being written about a single player as I had about Jack Wilshere. The second touch is a stretcher. As I said 5 years ago, it was Nicky Butt Twitter. And nothing, I mean, now he's going, this is the saviour of English football, now gone on loan to Bournemouth. Says it all, doesn't he? He's supposed to be lighting up Bournemouth. More likely to light up a fag. I can't have the player. I just cannot have the player. I mean, he might do a job for Bournemouth, but it's a big if in my because most of the time he'll spend on the treatment table. This fixture, your odds compilers, I feel like kicking them because it's a big come on for every time they play West Brom in fixtures like this. They always put them at 3-1. They know I'm going to step in. Yeah, because it's part of my school, isn't it? 3-1 away from home in the Premier League. And, you know, I've done that for West Brom a million times and I've lost my money. because they're managed by Tony Pulis, who doesn't worry, who doesn't care, he doesn't want to win these matches away from home. He just wants to keep a zero in the scores, in goals against Colum. So no longer will I back West Brom. Unless they're 7 or 8 to 1 in a match like this, I'm not touching them. But everything Tom says about Bournemouth is right. They should, they're capable of winning this fixture. What we've seen from them so far suggests they should win in a canter. Evens is a bit short. That's what worries me. But because it's West Brom, I'm going to go for them. I'm going to go for Bournemouth and even money to beat West Brom because I just can't back the Baggies.
I think Pulis wants a zero in both columns, Derek.
Yeah, he wants to change the name to West Broom because there's a 0-0 in the middle then. You know what I said? It's just 1-0. it's just a shocking manager. I mean, I know that he's red off favourite now, isn't he, to be the first manager to go, to win the sack race, in other words. And the vibes coming out of the Hawthorn suggest that's money well spent.
Just looking at that first Premier League manager to leave odds, he's into even money now, Tony Pulis. Alan Pardew is 3-1. Francesco Guidolan is 8-1. Walter Mazzarri, 9-1. David Moyes is 14s. And it's 16-1 and bigger the rest.
They've not signed anybody. They signed Hal Robson-Kanu, who's been on his holidays for 3 months waiting for a club to come in for him. He's not going to provide them with the goals because he was no good at Championship level. I know he scored a great goal in the Euros, in that Welsh team, but that's about it. And they have not strengthened anywhere near enough West Brom. So and Wilshere, I'm interested to see. I've got no idea whether he is good or not. I've absolutely no idea what that player is like. So at least he's going to start every week in theory.
Stoke versus Tottenham finishes the weekend. Stoke 15-4, the draw 13-5. Tottenham 3-4. Enhanced odds: Wilfred Bony to score and Stoke to win was 6-1. Now 8-1, and Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was 14-5, and now in the betting at 4-1. Tottenham have won more games at the Britannia than any other Premier League side. But David, there's a feeling they still haven't hit full stride yet. Having said that, neither have Stoke. They're rock bottom of the league and their only point has come against Middlesbrough. Wilfred Bony lacking match fitness, but he's expected to lead the line for Stoke City. Where do you stand on Wilfred Bony, Derek?
On his windpipe. I don't know what to think of Bony. I mean, every time I've watched him, he'll score a goal, but I don't see what he gives a team. I really don't. A bit like Benteke in my eyes. I just don't see him contributing to a team that's going to do well. So no, I can't have him. I still have got a target without him, haven't they? It's incredible that they're at the bottom of the league, but they had a bad start, a sluggish start last season, and they still finished well, still finished eighth, I think it was. So there's a lot more to come from them. There's a lot more to come from Tottenham. Well, there has to be, doesn't it? If they're supposed to be challenging for the title. For 70 minutes against Liverpool, I thought they were absolutely hopeless. If you give credit to Liverpool for that. But they still didn't lose the game, Tottenham. So that's a feather in their cap. I don't think any of their players at the moment is performing even 75% of their normal level. Kane has been a joke. Eriksen, non-existent. They are really missing Moussa Dembele, who's one of my favourite players in the Premier League. He's suspended still. They haven't got him back. What I'm saying is that, Tottenham went to Stoke at the end of last season and won 4-0. But Stoke had pretty much given up the ghost. Then Tottenham were going hell-bent for the league. I wouldn't read too much into that fixture. Into that result. I actually think Stoke are overpriced here. You've got, 3 months from now, we wouldn't back him because Tottenham might well be firing by then. But they're not now. They're the side that can be beaten right now. And you're getting silly prices about the home team, who are, player for player, they're a tidy Premier League side, Stoke. Too big. I'm going to go for Stoke.
Stoke at 15-4 for Derek. Just a quick one on the cards here, folks. There have been 8 red cards in 16 Premier League meetings between these two sides, and 7 of those have come at the Britannia, 3 for Stoke and 4 for Spurs. So if you are, if you like that head-to-head start, 100-30 in the cards market for there to be a red card in this game. How do you view the match, Tom?
Pretty similar to Derek. I think Stoke are far too big here. I mean, Tottenham have had their, Tottenham, since Pochettino's come in, they had that sort of the crazy red nap period, and then there was sort of money flying around, and they blew all the bail money. And since Pochettino came in, I've been really impressed with Spurs, how they've handled themselves. They seem very cool and calm. Daniel Levy wasn't getting as much flack as he was. They were kind of very astute in their signings. You know, this summer, for example, Janssen and Wanyama, two solid additions to the squad. Wanyama, a player Pochettino knew well. And I'm thinking, this is a club that just knows exactly where it's at. It's got a stadium to pay for, and it's going about its business very quietly. Young British players being signed, and I'm thinking, this is brilliant. Really well drilled. Then they spend 30 million quid on Sissoko. It was almost like, I don't know what happened. They've just had an absolutely mad moment, and I think... I'm not saying it's a big, big mistake, but they've paid way over the odds for a player who basically had a couple of good games in the Euros, and that is about it. So I look at Tottenham, and I still think there's that little bit of hangover from last year. I think they've played the game so far this season with a bit of a hangover. They still are a well-drilled outfit, which means they're tough to break down, but they're not as fluent yet. And everyone watched them last season go to Stoke and destroy them. I mean, it was one of the best displays of an away team in the Premier League I've seen. I mean, they were absolutely ruthless on the counter-attack. It's just not there yet for Tottenham, and I think Stoke are too big. And with Wilfred Bony, you know, I made a very decent profit looking at when he was at Swansea, you know, backing him any time. He was scoring every week because he was playing every week. At Man City, we kind of forget about these players because they're out of the picture and they're playing a supporting role, and they come on with 10 minutes to go to try and win the game. And he's the kind of player who, is when he's not playing, he looks cumbersome, doesn't get about the pitch the quickest. But when he's playing and is your focal point, I think it's been a really clever signing for Mark Hughes. And I think getting back in the team, this guy was one of the best strikers in the Premier League in terms of putting the ball in the back of the net. And I think he can be that at Stoke. And I think it's what they've been missing, really, that regular goal scorer up front.
9-4, he is. Bony to score anytime. He is part of that enhanced odds offer as well. Bony to score and Stoke to win at 8-1. Time for the naps then, chaps. Derek, you're bottom, so you can go first.
The relish with which you said that. There's a number of ones I fancy, yeah. I mean, Watford 17-5, I think that's too big. Stoke, too big to beat Tottenham. Everton, too big to beat Sunderland. I'm going to go for Leicester, 5-1 to beat Liverpool.
Yeah, I think all of us like that. Leicester, 5-1 to beat Liverpool. Tom?
There's a few that I like here. There's probably three or four I could select, but I'm going to go for Burnley against Hull. I know it's not an attractive fixture. It's probably the least attractive of the weekend, but I'm going for Burnley. Dash has got an unbelievable record against Hull, and while Hull's made a good start, I think that's going to falter now. And at Turf Moor, Burnley, I'm with them at 6-4.
I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals in the game between West Ham and Watford at 21-20. I disagree with you two. I think West Ham are going to win that game on Saturday, but I'll play it safe and go over 2.5 at 21-20. Just under 30-1 that treble this week. Leicester for Derek at 5-1, Burnley for Tom at 6-4, and over 2.5 West Ham versus Watford for myself at 21-20. It pays just under 30-1. Chaps, thank you for your company. Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Cheers, Rodney.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the podcast this weekend. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. Check us out on iTunes as well. And check out all the betting for the Premier League this weekend at williamhill.com. We'll speak to you very soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.